Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, continuing with the chapter on the prohibition of ghibat, backbiting, and protecting one's tongue. In other words, being very careful of what one speaks, whether the words that he speaks has a good effect, the outcome is good, and is only good in it, then the person should go ahead and speak. And if there is a doubt that what I'm speaking may cause or may have a detrimental effect, may lead to ghibat, may lead to slander, may lead to backbiting, and it also has the potential together with having some good effect. So there's a chance of good and bad in that speech, and it is better that the person refrains from that speech also. And then you get the third type of speech, where there is only evil in it. That speech also a person stays away from. And there's a fourth category, that speech that is of no benefit, no use. Person just speaking it to pass time, to while away time. That type of speech also a person stays away. So if you look at it from this perspective, 75% of all speech a person is staying away from. Why? Out of fear that it may be detrimental to my iman, may be detrimental to my deen. What I'm speaking may not be correct. So a person is very, very careful of what he speaks. So today's hadith, and Anas radiallahu anhu qal, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لما عرج بي مررت بقوم لهم أظفار من نحاس يخمشون وجوههم وصدورهم فقلت من هؤلاء يا جبريل قال هؤلاء الذين يأكلون لحوم الناس ويقعون في أعراضهم رواه أبو داود. حضرت أنس رضي الله عنه narrated رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said, when I was taken up to the heavens during Mi'raj, when I was taken for Mi'raj, I passed by some people who had fingernails of copper. So the fingernails of these people that I passed by were made of copper, and which they were scratching their faces and their chests. Imagine, with their own fingernails, they were scratching their faces and scratching their chests. With what type of nails? Fingernails made of copper. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I asked, who are these people, O Jibreel? Jibreel alayhi salam replied that these are the people who consume the flesh of people and attack their honor. Here we explain that there are certain times when it's permissible, certain times when it's even preferable, that a person speaks and he mentions things about someone else. For example, if a person is a fraudster, there's somebody that is a fraudster, now to warn the public about that fraudster this time, oh, this won't be regarded as ghibat. It won't be regarded as eating the flesh of someone else or attacking their honor. Then it is important that you inform the community. Someone that is taking away people's wealth or taking away people's iman, someone that is on drugs, for example, and he is influencing the community. Now it's important to inform the community that be careful of such and such a person. Don't let your children go and be in his company. There is a lot of benefit in that. So it's not a general rule that every single person, you can't speak out against the honor like that. If someone is attacking the deen in some way and is promoting something new that is against Islam, then to warn the public and to warn the community is necessary, that be careful that what this person is saying in the name of Islam, this is not correct. It's completely incorrect. There to warn the community won't be regarded as ghibat. Actually, it is regarded as something that is important, something that this person should be doing. If it is brought to his knowledge and he's sure of what he's speaking. So anyway, why is this backbiting referred to as the flesh, attacking the flesh of people? Ulama explained that it is similar to eating raw flesh of one's dead brother, an action which is regarded as most contemptible. Just as cannibals are despised and hated, so too is a person who backbites. He's actually eating the flesh. And sometimes on one occasion in the time of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Ta'ala made it such that Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam showed it to them physically. It wasn't something that was just understood. It was physically demonstrated to them. What had happened was, a man came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, two women are fasting. They are on the verge of death due to excessive thirst. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned away. Allah Ta'ala had informed him via wahi. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam knew what was happening. So he turned away. So he returned in the afternoon and repeated what he had said. That man that came in the morning came again now in the afternoon, and he repeated what he had said. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam this time said, call them, call those two women. When they came, a container was placed before them, and they were commanded to vomit in that container. The first one vomited blood, pus and flesh, until half the container was filled. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam commanded the second woman to do the same. She also vomited pus, blood, fresh meat, etc., until the whole container was full. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that these two, referring to these two women, these two abstain from what Allah Ta'ala had permitted for them. In other words, they abstain from food, they abstain from water, things that were generally permissible. By fasting, they stayed away from those things. But then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam went on to say that they broke their fast with that which Allah Ta'ala had prohibited them from. In other words, they broke their fast by ghibat, by backbiting. So here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam practically showed the effects of backbiting. May Allah Ta'ala save us. So these two ladies, they sat together eating the flesh of people. This hadith is mentioned, authentic hadith mentioned in Musnad Ahmad. It shows us this is something that is real. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. Allah Ta'ala save us. It's a very evil quality. Once it comes in a person, it's very hard. Because as a person starts gossiping, then the gossip becomes more and more juicy. The person wants to speak more and more. So therefore, we must be very careful how we use this tongue. Be careful that we don't spoil our actions, our amal, by virtue of this tongue. And sometimes it happens also, a person may do a good deed for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. He did something genuinely for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. For example, he may have built one madrasa, he may have built one masjid, he may have sponsored one borehole, or may have done some great act of kindness towards someone. But later on, shaitan puts in his heart, let me advertise this thing via the virtue, by the means of this tongue, let me advertise that this is what I did, this is this person I helped, and that person I helped. What is being, what was done for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, he's undoing it by just advertising and marketing his own actions. So therefore, a person has to be very careful. Something was done solely for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. Leave it for the sake of Allah. Don't spoil it by means of this tongue. So this tongue can be a means of many, many good actions, and it can be a means of spoiling one's actions also. So may Allah Ta'ala make it such that we are very, very careful of the use of our tongue. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Salamun al-mursaleen, walhamdulillah.